Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning for worship. It's the third Sunday of Advent, and we're going to continue the worship and sermon series that we began at the beginning of the season. This morning, our theme is Arise and Shine. And the main focus is healing light. So that's where we're headed. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you. We'll start out with our opening hymn, Savior of the Nations Come. We're going to sing verses 1 through 4. Please stand. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. We proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, our Father, we stand with believers in every age who have insisted, even in perilous times, that the baptized are secure in Jesus. His reign is just, his power is mighty, his love is endless, and he is coming soon as our Sun of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat.
The first reading is from Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. You will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In a world where so many are longing and looking for love, our faith has us looking to love who made his dwelling among us in our coming Savior, who is the Christ.
The second reading is from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 5th chapter, verses 30 through 36.
Glory to you, O Lord.
By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Testimonies about Jesus. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works of the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I am doing testify that the Father has sent me. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat.
Those who said at night.
dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. That's the Old Testament reading that Karen read for us just a few moments ago. How many of you are familiar with the movie The Green Mile? Anybody remember the movie The Green Mile? Well, just to kind of refresh your memory a little bit, or to try to give you a little summary of one of the scenes of, for those of you who maybe didn't see The Green Mile, it's a movie that was set in a prison in Louisiana in about 1935. Paul Edgecombe, who was the main CO that was played by Tom Hanks, is the head guard of a death row unit. And this death row unit is called the Green Mile because of the long lime-colored floor that prisoners had to walk, unfortunately, to get to the electric chair. Now, John Coffey, he was one of the inmates that was brought in to that unit. I don't know if you remember John Coffey, but he was a big guy, probably stood about 7'5". And I always remember the one scene and the anxiety that those guards must have had when that old prison transport van pulls up and the back bumper is nearly touching the road because he's so big. And then here's these fair-sized prison guards that have to walk out and escort, and they look about this tall to him. But anyway, John Coffey was one of the inmates that was there in that unit. He had a slight disability. John Coffey was falsely charged with the murder of two little girls. Now, of course, at first glance, he was a kind of intimidating guy because of his size. But before long, prison guard Paul realizes that there's something very, very interesting about him. You see, he held this kind of special, mysterious gift. Anybody remember what that gift was? To heal. He had this most remarkable gift to bring life, to heal. He could absorb another person's disease and cure them. Well, in learning this, Paul arranges for the guards one night to secretly transport him to the warden's house. And they needed to do this because the warden's wife was very, very ill with an inoperable brain tumor. Well, as John is escorted into the house, you can hear the woman screaming in just agonizing pain. But John goes in, and he looked at her pain-filled face, and immediately the woman relaxed. And she asked what his name was. And John smiled with such a gentle smile. He says, "John Coffey, ma'am. Like the drink, but not spelled the same." He then leaned over her face and he says, "I see it." Something, sensing that something mysterious was going on, the woman began to whimper a bit. "What's happening to me?" And John very gently says, "Shh, be still now. Just be quiet and be so still." And then in that scene, John placed his mouth right next to hers. And the inside of her mouth began to glow, and a swarm of what appeared to be bugs came out of her and right into John. The room began to glow so brightly. The house, it shook as if there was an earthquake happening. John sits up. He's doubled over in pain. He's coughing uncontrollably. But the warden's wife, as peaceful as can be. See, the disease left her body. John took that illness upon himself, and healing was hers in those moments. It's a remarkable scene in the movie, really, but of course, it's just a movie. But as you can imagine, what a relief it must have been for her in those moments. What a relief it must have been for her family and even the warden. And again, just a movie. But you know something, as I thought about that scene, I couldn't help but to think of our faith. Our faith. And the promise of a forever healing that we have in our Jesus. You see, it's a part of God's promise. And that brings me to our Old Testament reading for today. One that Karen read for us. It's from the book of Malachi. Now, Malachi, he was a prophet. And like the other prophets that we've talked about so far in this series, Malachi ministered during some really, really difficult times, difficult days. You see, under his ministry, Malachi met the people during a time when Judah was under the dominion of a group called the Persians. Darkness seemed to be all around. It was all-encompassing, really. Evil, from their perspective, seemed to be prevailing. And during this time, some people even felt that God was distant from them, that he was absent, and that he wasn't willing to listen or hear. This little line from Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, I think, sums it up really well. And people cried out and they said, very simply, where is the God of justice? In other words, it was as if they were saying, God, you say that you're with us. You say that you're going to right wrongs, heal hurts. But when? Where? You know, maybe we can relate to that a little bit. Maybe we can relate to the kind of frustration of what seems like all-encompassing darkness in our lives sometimes. And maybe we can even relate to the distancing to God that might come from that frustration. I know it's easy to cling to God in the good times, isn't it? It's easy to do that, but maybe not so easy when times are tough. And how effortlessly we can be upset by the circumstances that do surround us sometimes. How we can be a people who wonder why. And God, where are you? As darkness is around us, things like pain and loss and illness, how those things can weigh on us. And corruption and evil, which seems to be prevalent and dominant today. How it can discourage us. How it can drain us. Maybe even fester doubt in our hearts. And how at times we can be distant from our God, distant from each other. Just like those people in Malachi's day. You ever felt that way? I know I have. And if you're anything like me, then you need to hear what comes next. You see, in the midst of all of that darkness, which of course was a reality for the people in Malachi's day and still us too, in the midst of all of that darkness came a message and a promise. A message and a promise that never ever fades away, no matter the circumstance. A message that points, yes, even today, you and me, to a real hope. The greater and the greatest reality. The promised Savior, our Jesus, the one who came just as foretold, born of a virgin, Emmanuel, God with us. And it's this Jesus, our Jesus, whose brilliance, whose grace and presence and mercy can outshine any and all of the darknesses. Our Jesus, whose overwhelming light and love led him all the way down from heaven to be with us, to die for us, his treasured possessions, just as Malachi said. And our Jesus, the Son of Righteousness indeed, who rose with healing in his wings, just for us. And that, friends, is huge. You see, like John Coffey in the movie, but on a much bigger and more realistic scale, Jesus took upon himself our sickness. He took upon himself the sickness of our sins, and he bore it on his body on the cross. And because he did, we're healed, made right, forgiven, reconciled, and restored forever. Our hearts and our minds then, through faith, can grow bright as the overpowering brilliance of Christ now fills us, overflowing in every season and in every circumstance, even when things seem out of place, difficult, and heavy. You see, friends, Jesus makes all of the difference to the stuff that sometimes frustrates us in life. And then rather than looking inward or outward, it's faith that draws us to look to the cradle and to the cross, to look to the rising sun, our Savior. And there we see all that we need for this life and what's to come. There we find hope and peace. There we find healing for our hearts, our bodies, our minds, our souls. And like leaping calves from the stall, as Malachi put it, joy fills us in the freedom that comes to you and me through Christ as the weight is lifted and we find life in all circumstances. You see, friends, with him and him alone, joy is always ours. Yes, even when it isn't so easy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you.
In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin this morning, please say a special word of prayer for Ken Schaubert. Ken is recovering from some surgery this past week. He was briefly hospitalized, but he is home and recovering now. Say a special word of prayer for Jim Kless. Jim was hospitalized this past week with a very bad case of cellulitis, as I understand. So he, too, is home now and recovering, so keep him in your prayers. For Don Kelm, Don took a fall this past week and broke his clavicle. And last but not least, if you would, say a special word of prayer for my chiropractor, Dr. Impaglia. I called him on Wednesday to let him know that I was running behind for my appointment, and he informed me that he wasn't going to be in the office at least until the beginning of the new year. Unfortunately, tragedy did strike his family. His 24-year-old son suddenly passed away last Wednesday. So please keep my Dr. Impaglia and his family in your prayers as they mourn the death of their son. I invite you to please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the Lord's mercy upon all of us and upon all people as they have need. For joy in the Lord, that we may be sustained in the time of waiting for his will and purpose to unfold in these latter days, for patience under trials, and for hope that endures the changes and chances of this mortal life, let us pray to the Lord. For hearts that trust in the Lord at all times, for courage to confront our doubts and fears with the word of the Lord, and for strength to fulfill our vocations of worship, witness, prayer, and works of mercy, Lord, in your mercy. For the world, that those entrusted with positions of leadership in government, for the servicemen and women who defend us against the enemies of our nations, and for those who enact and enforce the laws which protect us, let us pray to the Lord. For the joy of work, for thankful hearts to rejoice in the fruits of our labors, for ways God has enabled us to provide for our families and those in our care, for those seeking employment and seeking better jobs, and for our care for those less fortunate and those in need, let us pray to the Lord. For the agencies of the church through which we can care for the poor and the hungry, the widow and the orphan, the aged, the infirm, those suffering mental illness and the sick, and those suffering afflictions of body and mind, we pray especially today for Ken, for Jim, for Don, for Dr. Impaglia and his family, for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletins, friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the dying, that they may receive care. For the grieving, that they may be comforted. For those who care for the dying and those who mourn, again, we pray especially today for Dr. Impaglia. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O blessed Lord, we are not worthy of your grace and favor, and yet you continue to lavish upon us the riches of your mercy. Hear the prayers of your people who cry to you on behalf of themselves and all those in need. Grant to us the sufficient grace to supply all that we need for this body and this life until that day when Christ comes again to bring us into your eternal presence to praise your goodness forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, gracious Heavenly Father, with this bread and with this cup, we remember the life of our Lord offered for us, and believing in the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord's true body and blood with a living faith as he comes to us in his supper. Amen. Now we pray together as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, we share that peace with one another. You may be seated.
Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, blessed will be now and forever. Amen. You take and eat. This is the body of Christ for you. May God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen. And now may this, your Lord's true body and blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith. For now unto life everlasting, depart in his joy and peace. Amen. I invite you to please stand for the post-communion prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Glory.
Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. Just a quick couple of announcements before you head off for the week. Pageant stuff that's coming together. So the Christmas pageant is going to be on the 22nd. So that's next Sunday. It'll be during the 11:15 service time. So there is no contemporary service next week. It's just the pageant at 11:15. So anybody that might be interested in coming and supporting the kids and the work that they've put in to share the Christmas story with us, again, that's at 11:15 next Sunday. There is a pageant rehearsal that is scheduled for next Saturday at 10:30. So if you're participating in the pageant, you are asked to be here next Saturday, the 21st, at 10:30 for that. Next Saturday is also our longest night service for anybody that might be interested in that. That's at 7 p.m. Next Saturday. That will also be a live broadcast on WXRL. Since we no longer do a New Year's Eve service, the longest night service and the Christmas Eve service are the two services that go live on the broadcast. So, again, that service is next Saturday at 7 o'clock. We are also still having the 4:30 service on Saturday, so just keep that in mind. The longest night doesn't replace the 4:30 service, so there'll be 4:30 service and the 7 o'clock longest night service. Then from there, the Christmas schedule kind of takes place. I think at this point you all know what that schedule is, so I don't really need to repeat that, right? Everybody good on that? Okay. The only other thing I want to mention is today is the last day for the Giving Tree. So if you took one of the ornaments, if you have anything that you wanted to donate for that Giving Tree, today is the last day. Laura plans to take the stuff at some point during the week. So if you do have something and you didn't bring it, can you get it here? this morning would be the best case scenario for Laura. So all right. So that's that. Anything else that I'm missing for the good of the group? All good? Okay. Great. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thank you.